The other week, I was talking with some parents at school. Actually, all of these parents happen to be mums, and you can probably tell that from this story. They were talking about some of the terrifying things that their children do. This particular mum was talking about her 7-year-old daughter, maybe 6 actually at the moment, no, 7 at the moment, who takes her pony over jumps with her hands out like this, standing up in the saddle. Of course, as she does it, yelling, "Look at me, mum, look at me!" And the last thing mum wants to do, of course, is look. These are terrifying things that your children, maybe your grandchildren or nieces or nephews do. But as this lady was telling me the story, this mum was telling me this story, she said, well, and as she does this, I remember actually I used to do that kind of stuff and more when I was her age. I keep being told that we are, at the moment, going through a time where we're much more concerned about safety and security than we used to be. There's lots of things you just can't do these days with kids at school or at youth group. You can't do it, and anything you do, you've got to fill out a big, fat wad of risk assessments to do it with them. We're also seeing a growing concern, even fear, about safety and security, about even more complex things. It's not just how your kids are riding a horse, but we hear about things like food security, water security, biosecurity, border security, economic security, identity security. And all of this talk about security, I don't think it makes us feel any safer. In fact, it does the opposite. We feel like everything is dangerous, that we're vulnerable and we need protection. And we hear all this talk and we are anxious and worried. And some of the things that we're concerned about, some of the changes that are happening in our world, are genuinely scary. Well, today we're going to hear Jesus speak to our anxieties and fears. He's going to speak about the uncertain times we live in. And he's going to show us that certainty, comfort, and safety can only be found in him. Now, what we're looking at in the Bible this morning is a tricky part of the Bible. As Owen read it before, you may have been thinking, look, he's speaking English, but I do not understand a word that he's just said. It is just mind-boggling. It makes no sense at all. And this is one of those passages in the Bible where the details are confusing, but the big picture is very clear. You know the saying about losing the forest for the trees? Well, I think this is one of those times. And so looking at the details, looking at the trees, does have its place. And in a few weeks' time in our Bible studies, we are going to take some time, we'll slow down, and we'll have a discussion about some of the trees, some of the details in this passage. But today, we're going to look at the forest, the big picture, the vibe, because I don't want us to get lost in the trees. I want us to understand what Jesus is saying, because sometimes when we get into the details, we get confused, and even worse than that, we miss Jesus. But by keeping our eyes on the big picture, we're going to see that this is a tricky passage, but it teaches us to trust and love Jesus and be in awe of his glory. So that's all by way of introduction. Let's get into the passage now. So this is the final week of Jesus in the temple, his final week as he leads up to his crucifixion. And Jesus has been visiting the temple every day, and he's been under attack by the Jewish religious leaders. Religious leaders who've already made up their mind about Jesus and they want to get rid of him. And right now, we're outside the temple, and the disciples are talking about how amazing this temple is. And it was. It was an amazing, enormous, awe-inspiring building. So Luke 21 and verse 5. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, and we'll just pause here. I reckon the disciples felt at this moment a bit like how people feel when they go to Vatican City and stand in St. Peter's Square, especially how Roman Catholics feel. It's not just beautiful architecture. For Catholics, the beauty of the buildings is meant to show the beauty and majesty of the papacy, of the church, of even God. And just like those buildings in the Vatican, this temple was old. Even though it had been significantly upgraded in recent times, the existence of the temple was a testimony of the stability and endurance of Israel, of God's promises and God's faithfulness. And then Jesus drops a bombshell. Verse 6, "These things which you see, The days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. That would have taken the wind out of the disciples. No one likes change. It's only human to find comfort and safety and security when things stay the same. There's something comforting and reassuring when buildings that were there when you were a child, when they are still there now. A few years back, I went to my old school, went for a walk through my old school. Now, many of the buildings from my era are still there, but they're now surrounded by all sorts of new buildings and walkways, and it's basically unrecognisable. And seeing all these new facilities, it made me feel like a stranger. I was no longer a part of that place. And this is one of the reasons we don't like change. We find comfort and security in things staying the same. But Jesus says to his disciples who find comfort and security in this temple, this isn't the place to find comfort and security. Buildings, not even the temple, aren't where we get assurance. And the disciples should not have needed to be told this. This temple was not the one that King Solomon built. It had been destroyed when the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem. They shouldn't have been surprised, but they were. They were looking for confidence and security there. And so Jesus tells them, don't look for security here. And that gets the disciples worried. And they ask, when's this going to happen? How can we be prepared? Verse 7. So they asked him, Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? Now, Jesus doesn't directly answer their question, but I wish he did, because working out when Jesus is talking about is probably the big question. It's the big question most people ask about this passage. Is this passage talking about the second coming? Is Jesus talking about when the temple would be physically destroyed, which happened in 70 AD, and the editors of the Bible that was read to us before, as Owen pointed out, they think that that's what this is talking about, that's what the headings do. The headings in the Bibles, they're not there, Luke didn't write them originally, and so they're good helpers, but sometimes they can be misleading, because they're there to help us, but maybe they're helping us in the wrong direction. I'm just raising the question. Maybe Jesus, the when is, that Jesus is talking generally about how life is going to be for his followers between his death, resurrection, and ascension and the second coming. He's just talking, painting a picture of the general state of the world we're in. Or maybe he's talking about his death, resurrection, and ascension. And people go around and around in circles thinking about, well, which one of these things is Jesus talking about? When is Jesus talking about? And this week, I've lost sleep thinking this one through. And although it's the question that everyone asks when they come to this passage, when is Jesus talking about? And I do think it's a question we can answer. I actually don't think it matters all that much. It doesn't actually matter all that much which one of those four events you choose Jesus to be talking about. Why? Because what Jesus is teaching, what he's teaching his disciples, what he's teaching us is, put your confidence in me. Don't put your confidence in tradition and religion and impressive buildings. Keep it in me. And it doesn't matter which of these events he's talking about, because regardless, his point is the same. Because Jesus is saying, look, the things that you generally put your confidence in, they're going to be destroyed. They're not going to go the distance. And if you put your confidence in them, then we're going to be disappointed. But if our confidence is in Jesus, then we won't be let down. And so let's have a listen now to Jesus' answer as Jesus describes all the wrong places to put our confidence. Because we do live in uncertain times, in an unchanging world, a world where people will lead us away from Jesus. So verse 8, and he said, take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Sadly, history is filled with too many people who make big claims and lead people away from Jesus. I remember when watching TV when the FBI stormed the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. David Koresh was their leader. He set himself up as the Christ. He told his followers, the time is near. He wasn't the first. He won't be the last. And you can imagine the disciples back then with Jesus and all the religious leaders conspiring against Jesus, and it's only going to get worse for them in the next couple of days. There are lots of threats. The challenge is, are you going to stick with Jesus or are you going to go and be led astray? Are you going to follow someone who says, he's not the way, I'm the way? So that's the first symptom of the uncertain times. People leading us away from Jesus. Jesus then goes on to talk about other things that unsettle us. Even without the TV or internet, people in Jesus' times would hear about wars and natural disasters, and just like we do, they'd be worried. Verse 9. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end will not come immediately. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now we're going to come to how Jesus says we should respond to these uncertain times in a moment. But for now, we're just listening to Jesus describe uncertain times. The uncertain times his disciples were going to face as Jesus was crucified, buried, rose and ascended. And we face the same kind of things, don't we? Unsettling things happen all the time. And Jesus brings up a particularly disturbing example, an idea that would deeply trouble the disciples. And that is that Jerusalem would once again be conquered and destroyed. Remember how this discussion all started off? The disciples were expressing their comfort and security in the temple. They thought the temple was something they could rely on, something that proved that God was with them. And Jesus said, don't look at the temple for security. And now he says, don't go looking to the city of Jerusalem for security. Verse 20. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress on the land, and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, just like the idea of the temple being demolished, this was horrifying to hear. It was horrifying to hear the temple would be demolished, horrifying to hear that Jerusalem too would be demolished. Because Jerusalem was God's holy city. It was God's city. The city that goes right back to King David. And there are all sorts of amazing prophecies and promises about Jerusalem in the Old Testament. There are songs about it in the book of Psalms. And Jesus is saying, don't base your confidence and comfort in Jerusalem. Your hope and comfort is not in this city. Even though you've got all these memories of coming up here to offer your sacrifices in the temple and being here for the Passover and for the other Jewish feasts, he says, look, if Jerusalem's going to fall, if it looks scary, just get out of there. You don't have to go down with this ship. And in the last 2,000 years, Jerusalem, just like many other capital cities in the Middle East and in Europe, has been surrounded by armies a handful of times. 70 AD... this is a painting that was inspired by that. The stories that you read in Josephus about what happened then are horrific. 135 AD, the Romans finished it off. In the Middle Ages, it was back and forward between the Muslims conquering and the Crusaders coming in and conquering it back. And it's hardly a peaceful place now. Now, lots of people think that what Jesus is talking about in this passage is particularly talking about that first bit of time that Jerusalem was attacked after the time of Jesus in 70 AD. And maybe he is, but that's where we can get lost in the detail. Regardless of whether Jesus is particularly talking about a particular siege, the point is, don't look to this city for security. So what's Jesus said so far? Well, he said there's going to be uncertain times. False Christs, scary news, cities destroyed. And now Jesus takes the uncertainty onto a cosmic scale. Not only will there be wars on earth, but the heavens themselves will be shaken. Verse 25, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Back in 2012, there was all this talk about how the Mayan calendar said the world would end. And some people really believe this. They were worried. I remember teaching RI, and there were primary school kids who would ask me in the RI lessons, "Mr. Saunders, do you believe the world is going to end this year?" And along with that Mayan calendar, because it was an astrological-based calendar, astrologers, who have all that silly star sign nonsense, they found the astrological events that lined up with this calendar, and then people got even more worried. And the end result was there were signs in heaven, but nothing happened. But it unsettled a lot of people. What's Jesus talking about as he talks about these uncertain times? Wars on the earth, signs in the heavens? We're saying, look, you guys, we're looking at confidence and security in all the wrong places. We look for it in all sorts of places. Maybe it's in the temple, in religion, or in Jerusalem, in nationalism or kings and government, or even the sun, moon and stars. That's where we think is certainty and stability, but none of them are certain. They're not where followers of Jesus look for certainty and security and safety. And if you do put your confidence in those things, thinking, oh, they'll never change, they'll always be there, I'm going to be safe because they're always there, you're going to be disappointed. And Jesus' point in telling his disciples about this is he wants them to find safety and security in something that is certain, something that will stand firm when everything else goes and is destroyed. And we're going to get to Jesus' certainty in a moment, but first, I'm sorry to tell you, there's one more bit of bad news. And the bad news is that followers of Jesus are going to be hated. And Jesus tells his disciples they're going to be hated by two groups of people. The first group, Jesus doesn't tell us who they are, but it seems pretty obvious that they're the religious leaders, the political leaders. Verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And that shouldn't surprise them, because we know, what are the religious leaders wanting to do? They want to kill Jesus. They want to kill Jesus. Of course they're going to want to kill his followers. But the next group is surprising. Even their own families will hate and betray them. Verse 16, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Sadly, we know that this is all too true, isn't it? From both of these groups of people, even family. We've heard stories of believers being dobbed into the secret police in North Korea by their own family, or believers being murdered by their family because of the shame that their conversion brings upon the family. But we don't need to go too far away to know this. There are people in our own church family who've been disowned and discarded by their family because they love and follow Jesus. Jesus is saying, don't look for safety and security even in your own family. Even from religious leaders and government leaders, they may betray you and persecute you. Now, this is a pretty harsh message, isn't it? It's a pretty glum outlook for life. You read this and think, why would anyone want to follow Jesus? You follow Jesus and you'll be hated, and you'll still live in a world full of wars and famines. What has Jesus got to offer? Well, in the middle of this bad news about scary things, Jesus gives us reason for hope and confidence. Instead of looking to the temple or Jerusalem for security, Jesus says, look at me. We can look to Jesus for security because he is the risen and reigning Son of Man. And so first up, he promises that in the midst of persecution, believers aren't going to be left alone, but Jesus will be with them. Verse 13. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. What a great promise. Last year, Pat lent me a book about a woman from Eritrea. She was persecuted for following Jesus. Her jail cell was a shipping container in the middle of the desert. It wasn't solitary confinement. She was in there packed to the rafters, people living in a shipping container, in prison in a shipping container. There's no way you can prepare for that situation, is there? You hear her story, stories from our brothers and sisters in North Korea, and you think, there's no way I could cope. There's no way. Would I be able to stay faithful to Jesus when the wardens keep coming up to me and saying, look, all you need to do is say Jesus is not king and you can go free tomorrow. That's all you've got to do. In our comfortable situation, we hear what our brothers and sisters go through and you just go, that's impossible. There is no way I can do that. But Jesus says, I'll be with you. And he promises eternal security. Verse 18, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. Now, Jesus isn't saying that Christians will never be hurt or injured. When he says a hair of your head, that's not what he's talking about. In verse 17, he says that some believers will die for him. So he must be talking about eternal security. Eternally, Jesus promises to protect us. But how can he do that? It's a big claim. How can he do that? Well, it's because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man who will come on the clouds with power and glory. So have a look at verse 27. This comes after the cosmic shaking, signs in the sun and moon. Jesus says, verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. It's only a few days after Jesus says these words when he will be arrested, beaten, shamefully hung on a cross to die. But Jesus is saying, this is the truth. I am the powerful, glorious Son of Man. Now, this is one of those verses. I'm going to go in the trees just for a second. You're in the trees. You go, when is this? What is this coming that Jesus is talking about? What is he talking about? Now, it could be Jesus' return, his second coming. But I reckon Jesus is actually talking about his ascension. And the main reason is, this is a picture from the book of Daniel. Daniel 7, that's probably a bit small to read. Read it when you get home. Daniel 7, 13 to 14. In Daniel 7, there's a vision of one like a Son of Man who comes on the clouds, and he doesn't come to earth, but to the Ancient of Days, to the throne of God. The coming is not to us, but to God. Now, this might be a new idea for you. You might want to talk about this over morning tea or at Bible study in a couple of weeks' time. But let's get our eyes out of the trees. Back on the forest. Either way, whether verse 27 is talking about Jesus' second coming, his coming to earth, or his coming to the Father, the point is that Jesus is talking about himself. He's saying, I am this Son of Man, and I have power and glory. He's saying, I'm in control. Jesus has God's authority and power, and so we should look to Jesus for our safety and confidence. Because he will bring salvation. Verse 28, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. When the chaos comes, whatever that chaos is, Christians can stand tall because we know Jesus can and will save us through it. So what have we seen so far? The times are uncertain. And we have a tendency to look at the wrong things for certainty. We look at the things that will fail and won't last. We think, oh, that's where my certainty is. That's where my comfort will be. But Jesus says, no, don't look to me. Jesus will always be with us because he is the King, the Son of Man, who comes with glory and power. And so now we're up to the conclusion of Jesus' answer. It all started back with the temple, the disciples boasting about how incredible it is. And now Jesus finishes with a parable. A parable to remind them to be prepared. They've been warned about the uncertain times. Now be ready. Verse 29. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Now, I think I'm right in saying we haven't had much of an ant problem this summer, at least not indoors. I don't think we've had one come inside our house. What does that tell you? Well, it's going to be dry, isn't it? They're not trying to escape the floodwaters that are definitely not coming. Well, I better not say definitely, but it doesn't look like they're coming. But when the ants come and move in to stay, you know that it's going to be wet and maybe even a flood. Jesus' parable is saying pretty much the same thing. What's he saying? Be prepared. When it feels like everything is crumbling, when it feels like your world is about to end, and for his disciples that was going to happen in just a couple of days when the soldiers come and arrest Jesus and he's crucified, Jesus is telling them, don't panic, God is in control. In fact, God's kingdom is near. Jesus is about to be enthroned as the Son of Man because he endured suffering. And he promises that his words are more secure even than the creation. Verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We can trust what Jesus has to say. And so what are Jesus' disciples to do when uncertain and unsettling times come? Well, they're not to be distracted. They're not to give up hope, but they're to keep watch. They're to be ready. Verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. When I was a child, there was the fire safety slogan, there was the ads on TV. The ads I remember had Ronald McDonald in them, and the ad said, when there's a fire, get down low and go, go, go. What's the point of the campaign? Why can I still remember it 30-something years later? Well, they wanted kids, they even wanted adults, to remember the slogan to have it locked into our brain so that when something scary, like a fire, happens, we don't panic, we're instinctive, get down low, go, go, go. We do what the words say. That's what Jesus is doing in preparing his disciples with this parable, with this message. The first scary thing that was going to happen to his disciples is only a few days away. They would think that their world had fallen apart. The religious leaders had won. Jesus was a fraud. He was a crucified man. He could not be the Christ. But Jesus is telling them now, when this happens, don't give up. Watch and pray that you'll persevere. Don't look for certainty in the temple or Jerusalem. Don't look for security in religion or government. Jesus is the only solid rock. It's only through him that you'll stand. So where's your certainty? When you feel insecure, when the changes are overwhelming, where is your security? Jesus is risen and reigning. He is the Son of Man in power and glory. His words will never pass away. When it feels like the world is falling apart and you watch the news and the famines are just uncontrollable and you just don't know how to... And there's terrorism and wars, nuclear bombs being built. Jesus says, I am the Lord. I am in control. Bad things will happen. I am in control. When we feel unsafe, Jesus says, I am with you. No one can rob you of your eternal security. When we feel uncertain, Jesus reminds us, keep watch and pray, because our certain hope is seeing Jesus face to face. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this part of your word. Even though it's tricky and we probably still have questions about the details, we thank you for giving us confidence in Jesus. We praise you that Jesus is risen and reigning. He's the eternal King and he is the one we can rely on. Please help us to watch and pray always. You know our fears and concerns, the changes that worry us, the idols we have put our confidence in. Lord God, we repent of these false gods, and we ask you to give us hearts that rely on Jesus alone. Give us endurance to stand firm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.